Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the Divorce Episode 5 Gustav After Show. Stay tuned. We have tons to talk about, and especially our interview with Thomas Hayden Church. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Divorce After Show. I'm your host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram, Oriana Leo. Also, Tilt by Oriana. And joining me tonight, we've got the panel is full, thank goodness.
Constance Dunn. You can find me at Instagram at Constance Dunn, Twitter at Constance Dunn as well.
Miriam Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez.
Fern Rone. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, everywhere at Fern Rone, and my website, fernrone.com.
Well, welcome everybody. What a great episode. I think we'll kind of follow the pattern that we have here, which was like key takeaways. Like, how did you feel about this episode?
Loved it. You know, I've been very like lukewarm-esque, and I really started really loving this this show during this time. I really enjoyed it very much.
And?
I like to see where they're going and the mentality of their friends while they're going through this process.
Right.
Because, you know, everyone's opinion is...
Everybody's got one.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
What about you, Fern?
I loved it because we all know me. I miss Sex in the City. And there were some Sex in the City moments for sure. We could talk about them, but
yeah,
I felt it.
I felt it too. I was really impressed. We were speaking before we went on air of just this episode... didn't quite have as much action as far as different scenes. Mm-hmm. We got really juicy scenes. Mm-hmm. We had really juicy relationships, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get started. I want everyone to know that we had a fantastic interview with Thomas Hayden Church that we were going to show you and roll into this show. It was a phone interview, but it went a little long. So lucky you and lucky us. You'll just have to check out AfterBuzzTV.com or the YouTube channel and check out that interview.
Definitely. It is well worth it. We had a great talk with him, and he is very forthcoming and open and honest, and there's some really interesting tidbits in there about his pre-Hollywood days and, of course, his kind of rise to TV fame and film fame as well. So definitely worth it.
So I love those stories.
Yes, please check that out. Okay, so let's start with Robert. okay, we have him seeing this attorney that his accountant has suggested. It's just a comedy of errors, obviously, but it just seems like there's this cascade of incompetence from all three of these jokers. Mm-hmm. What do we think about this scene in the home office of the attorney of it's all law?
Yeah, law is law. It's just a mess to begin with. I mean, he's got the kitchen timer. Mm-hmm. The wife interrupts. It's his assistant. It's his not-assistant. It's his wife. You know, he's got to monitor the oven while he's like doing this consultation. And you know, he's like, well, are you familiar with divorce law? And he's like, you know, law is law. I do wills and trusts. And no, law is not law.
No.
As a lawyer, law is not law. I did bankruptcy law. I would not do your divorce. I didn't do my own real estate closing. No. There were just so many red flags, but he was a great character because it was just hilarious.
Absolutely hilarious. And how he ruins... I mean, he starts off on the wrong foot, right? Because he calls the house and spills the beans to Francis in the most awkward way possible.
What are you wearing? This is a prank call.
Yes, because... And it's funny because she sees caller ID that it's clearly a law firm. And she's immediately freaked out. She's like, are you a lawyer? And he's like, no, I'm not a lawyer. It is a very, very funny scene. And this actor is someone we've seen before. And this fact, this episode was so great. One of the reasons it was so great, it was like an actor's dream. There was Frank Whaley.
Right.
And there was also Dean Winters that we know from Oz. And, of course, all those Allstate commercials. So they're just really bringing in. That's what must be the power of being Sarah Jessica Parker at this point in her career. She's executive producing and she could bring in this one, that one, this one. So, and also they are in New York. So there's just a grab bag of great performers. And we get to benefit.
Yay!
Yeah. So true.
I thought it was I love the scene of him, you know, essentially we think that he's getting an attorney because he wants alimony, right? Because that's what the broker had suggested. Mm-hmm. But then he goes to this attorney and says he wants to protect what's his, but he doesn't have anything.
Right, he's like trying to build it up. Like, I'm successful. Like, this is the point. Like, this is like when you do your taxes. Pretend you're poor here and that you need money. Like, I know your ego is getting in the way, but play
but
it poor.
It almost seems like he doesn't really understand any of this.
Right.
Because he's still getting the ego involved with, like, well, I'm going to be doing really well really soon. And it's like, that's not even the point.
Right.
Like, I don't know. He just doesn't seem like he's connected at all.
No.
He's in denial. He's in denial about his finances. I think he's a little scared. He wants to feel like a man. And right now, he's been so emasculated by Francis, by the people he works with during the open house.
By Julian.
Yes, by Julian. He's feeling really emasculated. And so when he finds out that he doesn't really have a pot to piss in, the idea of him starting the fun zone.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
Fun space.
Fun space. Trampolines.
You know, we see him with the broker, and he's really just trying to pitch his idea, like, to the broker. Like, there's no... He can't pay for this. Like, this is just charade is going to go on and on. And a lot of... It's just... He is in denial. He won't look at himself and take responsibility for himself.
Well, it's a theme, and we talked a little about this with Thomas Hayden Church today, about the characterization of this is a portrayal of a man we don't see portrayed very often. And Miriam, you bring up a great point about him just being at a loss. Like, his life has been essentially nuked, and he is trying to figure out where the furniture is in this dark room and, you know, reinventing himself. And he is a little bit out of a loss. And whenever you feel like your life's kind of slipping away, you just grab at anything.
Absolutely.
I know I have.
We've all been there.
So it's a really good point. This is like a very big theme of this show. So
great scene in the car with the cookies being passed where he has a great line. What did I say? He said, this isn't a teaching hospital. Like, this is my life, which I love. Like, this is not, you know, his attorney is saying that he'll learn on the job and from his ex's attorney. Like, so bizarre.
Well, it's They're pulling straws from a cookie jar that has no cookies, you know? And so you have Jerry, the attorney, it's law is law. And then you have Don, who's his accountant, who suggested this guy in the first
place. So now we know that he's...
And now that he's freaking out, because now that he knows that Francis has went and gotten her a really powerful, like, badass attorney, he's a little freaked out. Yeah. And the fact that, like, Jerry's like, oh, you know what? I would kill to be in a courtroom with this guy, and I'll even lower my rate. It's like, you're playing Russian roulette with his life. Yes. Now he doesn't have a pot to piss in. He doesn't... He
just
lost
a Folgers
his wife.
Cup.
Yeah. Just his Folgers pot to piss in. That's it. Literally. And, you know, he's just... It's like these people are like, it's a big joke to them.
Right.
It's a big joke. And he's now starting to see, like, oh my God, if I have Mickey Mouse and you know, the Mickey Mouse Club representing me in court, I could lose what I already don't have.
It's a cautionary tale for real life, right? Oh, tell us, attorney at law.
No, seriously, the other thing, like, there were so many funny things that this guy did, and I loved him as a character because it was hysterical. The icing on the cake was the phone call. But when he was like, that's a, you know, whatever he charged him for the consultation. Consultations are free.
Right.
That's also a red flag. And you should never pay an attorney to learn on the job. He's like going to like train to be in the courtroom.
I'll learn
the other
so much from him.
Right, at your expense. So yeah, it was red flags galore.
Which it was, I have to say, very funny. Yes. Just, I mean, one of the funniest episodes so far, I thought, with the writing.
I think so.
Really fantastic. So he fires the accountant and the first attorney. He's thinks that he's going to get fun space going. You know, he has dinner with Nick, and boy, was that painful.
Yes, very painful.
And really just out of line, like just so incredibly out of line. And I'm wondering, is he going to push everyone away? Like, Nick is one of his only, you know, and we're going to put in quotes, friends, because they're clearly not friends. But for him to say the entire time, you should have a steak, you should have a steak, you should have a steak, that was a great steak. I mean,
so $4.99.
Right. All on top of this being a pitch where he has made a terrible presentation for his business. I love what Nick says is, like, know your limitations. Like, that this is part of the problem, that you think you can do everything, you really can't. Mm. But I'm surprised that Nick even shows up anymore. What do you guys think?
I think that they both... they're their only friends. Mm-hmm. And it's through the marriage, uh-huh, which would be severed should they get to, should Francis and Robert get divorced.
Right.
Nick and his friendship, there, it's going to be over because the Diane's going to make him pick sides. We see this time and time again. And, you know, it's the fact that, like, there is no real bond. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if he really did believe in Nick, he would have totally shot him some cash in his direction. Right. But he's like, the only one investment that you need to focus on is Francis.
Mm. Which were very wise words.
Yeah. Great line out of that, mm-hmm, scene, yeah, as well. Your marriage might be bad, but your divorce will be 50 times worse. Those, yeah. And those, mm-hmm, I mean, I'm sure I've had friends, people that are contemplating divorces, and they're just like, yeah, the divorce will just be so horrible that I will stay in there. I've actually heard things very similar to that, and things like, I don't want to write the check.
Oh, great. Right.
Which is not the reason to stay in a relationship.
It isn't, but it's real. It's real. Like, this show, people actually, mm-hmm, have to deal with this type,
yes,
of
they
stuff.
Do.
Oh, God, what a prison to be in.
I know.
Oh, no kidding. God.
That scene was so interesting, of them sitting at the table, and it was such good writing because they were both just only speaking from their perspective,
yes,
their prism. So Robert wasn't getting what he wanted from, mm-hmm, Nick, and he's like, is everything all right at home? And then Nick was like, you know, has a new appreciation for his wife.
Right.
And that's when he said, you're going to ruin the best investment you ever made, Francis.
Right.
Which,
well, he
I
also said the
so...
only good investment,
yes,
you've ever,
yes,
made. So now we know how Nick feels, right, about Robert's choices.
And then I love the little, you know, the little details that he was giving this presentation that he prepared, but didn't prepare well enough to realize if the person's listening to the music, they can't hear you. It was so great.
It was great, but I feel like at this point, I'm still wondering, how did these two get married in the first place?
Oh, I
like,
know.
That's the only piece that's missing for me, is I think that we'll find out eventually, if we get a season two, because they are unwrapping little Easter eggs about each character, mm-hmm, every episode, which I love, mm-hmm, but I still can't figure out why on earth they were ever together in the first place. We're supposed to think that.
I want to know the timeline, because I wonder if it's maybe she got pregnant.
Right.
Because I just don't see the chemistry. I don't see these two being so... And they're so unkind to each other that, yeah, I just don't see the love.
Yeah, I don't see the love either. We're going to get into Francis real quick. But before we do that, AfterBuzzers, I want to let you know that AfterBuzz TV brings you these podcasts and videos completely free, thanks to all of us hardworking hosts and, of course, our sponsors. And today's sponsor is DraftKings. So how is your fantasy football season going? What's that you say? Your starting running back has already pulled both hamstrings. Mm. Wah, wah. And your sleeper pick is sleeping? Well, it's not too late to save your season and win huge cash prizes at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football. That means no season-long commitments and to busts and bench warmers. Nobody wants those. And never again will injuries have you combing the waiver wire at 2 a.m. Every week is a brand new season at DraftKings. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Renew old rivalries with friends and play them every week. Or try 50-50 contests, where the top half of all entries win cash. Cha-ching. Even if your current fantasy team is circling the drain, you can still win huge cash prizes, mm-hmm, at DraftKings. So don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. We've got a special code for you, BUZZ, that's B-U-Z-Z, and play free with your first deposit. That's code BUZZ, B-U-Z-Z, to play free for your share of over $100,000 in total prizes. Wow. This weekend. So only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. Thank you so much to DraftKings.
You know, that seems like a neat way. If you've never played fantasy football, I haven't, but people talk about it and, yeah, seem to be so into it. It seems like a neat way to try it, and especially without a huge commitment.
Mm-hmm. Dip your toe in and,
right,
have a great week.
Just to learn what it's about.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. So, you know, we're looking at Frances. We learned so much about her and her world, I feel like, in this episode.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, starting obviously with her reaction to getting that phone call. What did you guys think?
First of all, that just throws you off entirely, because here she is in the beginning of the episode waiting at the mediation office, mm-hmm, and, you know, Robert doesn't show, and now to be blindsided by this really, really unprofessional attorney, well, I like to call them pretend attorneys,
mm-hmm,
the ones that, you know, do that.
Right.
And she's blindsided. So I think, you know, now she's kind of in... in this different mode of where she's got to do some sort of damage control.
Right.
So that way he doesn't have the upper hand, because technically he does. Mm-hmm. And we see that when she goes to meet with the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts divulging all that information. Mm-hmm. I mean, details. He's like, put it on paper. We can discuss this the next time I see you. She's like, no, you do not understand. Like, I made him feel bad about not having an orgasm. And I made sure he knew every time. She emasculated him. And, you know, I think that as this divorce proceeding, should they decide to follow through? Because now that's the question at hand. You have all these opinions telling you to stick in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, for what? Mm. You know, to continue a life of crappy orgasms and miscommunications and FUs down the hallway.
So she's packing up the house. Did you guys see what she was writing on the box?
Boots.
I thought it said books.
Boots or books, right? Okay. But I was really confused later on when she's dumping all the boxes in the dumpster. Is that a dumpster, or is that like a storage pod?
Because it's a dumpster for like a house that's in construction across the street.
So was that her, that wasn't her stuff? Was that his stuff?
That's his stuff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because when she first was cleaning out and putting, we see her holding a pair of boots, and that's why she put boots on the box,
right?
You know, and then to find out that he's now. She wasn't really going to do anything when she found out that he had a crappy attorney. But now that he's got this badass guy who, by the way, how creepy. Robert just left this guy's office. And now he's like, I know you were out with your girlfriends and you were having alcohol.
Well, we're not going to get there just yet. Let's just first stick with the first attorney. I felt like we saw her switch.
Yes. Mm. I thought she had a great line when she called him right after that and said, if you want to know the point, if you look back on this and how it all goes wrong, this was the point. I was like, that is. Perfect.
It was. I was happy to see her angry.
Yeah.
Like to see her on the offense a little bit.
Yeah. Because she's always felt so like guilty. This was her fault. Yeah.
Yes.
And now she's like, no, now this is war. This is war.
Right. Now that he's lied, he hasn't shown up. Mm-hmm. You know, like all of the stuff that he said about putting the kids first and that's why they were going to do mediation. Like, that's obviously total BS. Mm-hmm. He's not putting the kids first. He doesn't really care. And then she goes to her attorney, right? Mm-hmm. She goes to this attorney that Dallas has suggested.
Yep, Max Brodkin, fancy office.
Fancy office. And he is essentially saying, you need to let me know everything that you've done. And we get this little peek into her mind of the things that she's ashamed of. And as you mentioned, essentially, that she emasculated her husband. Right. What did she say? She admitted that she enjoyed making him feel inadequate.
Yes.
Which I was shocked. I was like, what?
I was surprised, too.
I was like, what happened to this relationship that caused so much resentment?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, actually.
Really?
No, because we see it when, a couple episodes before, where she made the sacrifices to leave this life in the city so he could start this business, which we're now starting to hear from Nick and from other people that he's just not that good at. So she's made all these sacrifices, and he still has not stepped up to the plate. Mm-hmm. And now he's not stepping up to the plate as a man. Oh, honey, she's handing it to him left and right.
But I feel like even if that were the case, she had to leave the city. She had to give up so much for him to start this business that he's proven he's not good at. Mm-hmm. So he's not making money. She's, you know, I feel like if you love your significant other, you still would be boosting them up. You still would be rooting for them.
They
you
do say
still be kind to
true
each other.
True love, you cannot be cruel to that person. Like if you have really true love, whether it's it's unconditional, but you can't have love and be cruel. Mm. Like it's not a true.
It makes so much sense. Like your husband, like if he's hurting, you're hurting.
Right.
You would never want to make him hurt because it would kill you.
And going down that road is a dangerous path of it's like the snake that eats its head. If you're going to start denigrating your husband or wife, et cetera, et cetera. Ooh, that's not just going to hurt them. It's going to hurt you. It's like you're destroying each other.
Well, and that's, I think, a great point, Fern, about was it a pregnancy? Was that the thing that got them together? Because why so much anger?
I think they were just never really in love, and now they're stuck.
Right.
Well, that's the big problem with divorces in general. You know, people, you can love somebody in, let's say, your early 20s. By mid-30s, you're a different person. What you loved was very different. You loved that the three of you, you know, you guys went out on like a summer tour around the country and camped and were in love and made out and had all these fun times. You're all very different people. And that's what actually Thomas Hayden Church talked about. Sometimes relationships just end. It's destiny or there's A, B, C, and D. They just end. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be forever, even though we do give that vow in weddings.
No, I agree. Like, I feel like once you've learned all you can learn from someone, you just move on.
You
like,
do.
That's, you evolve and move on from them. But I feel like you can still do it and be kind. I feel like that we're going to learn something about them that indicates why they're so mean to each other.
They clearly have a lot of anger. And we see Thomas's anger. I'm sorry, Thomas. We see Robert's anger up front, right? Because he's been cheated on. So he's the one that has the quote-unquote right. Mm. Right?
Right.
But I'm really curious to see where this goes with Frances as far as her anger, as far as any sort of reason. Because, you know, we heard about the mustache, and now, like, she didn't even do him the favor of faking an orgasm.
Right.
Which, let's just talk about this for a second. Is faking an orgasm, is that a favor to the man? Are you taking one for the team? Like, or is it better to be honest?
It's a favor to no one. Sorry.
Depending on how the sex is going. Now, mind you, Frances and Robert aren't into each other.
Right.
So when you're having I'm not into you sex, you're like, all right, we're 10 minutes in. Can we get this over with? And you just do what you got to do. And you're like, all right, let's bring it up a notch. And, you know, honey, that was great. And go about your day. Because if not, you're sitting there and he's going to keep trying and you're going to keep trying. And then you're going to get frustrated. And before you know it, you're having hate sex. And then you're like, get off me. So sometimes it's kinder just to, like, 10 minutes, 20 if you're really kind.
And I thought it was interesting what she said.
I like that.
I thought it was interesting what she said about, like, I should have. Like, I never faked it and I should have because I, like, enjoyed pushing the pins in and making him feel like he was inadequate and he didn't do a good job and then I wouldn't give him the opportunity to do it right.
See, I took it as a love thing. See, I never faked. I mean, I never tried to pull the wool over your eyes because I never had to. That's how I took it, but that I'm seeing what you're saying and I misunderstood it. Get it? I never had to fake with him, right. Nor would I ever because he's not a schmo.
But I took it as she never faked it because they always had great sex.
No.
And then I understood when she explained it that she never faked it to be kind.
Right.
Oh, no, she's mad as hell.
But she was, but like, you know, we're looking at this relationship of, like, why? Where's the kindness? Where's the love? Was it ever there? Mm. Especially the reaction of the kids. You know, that kind of like, yeah, we're fine, whatever. It just makes me wonder.
The tension's been going on in the house for a really long time, and kids are not stupid. No matter how many times people try and think that they're doing their kids a service, no, you're not. Your kids are not dumb.
They know.
They know what's up. Just by your voice and the tension or what have you. But it's... There is more to this story, and I'm curious to see on what that is, because they had to have loved each other at one point for a second.
Isn't that the story of divorce, though? Many people have loved each other, and then they loathe each other.
Yes.
It's like when people loathe each other, you have to remember that they loved each other so much, he loved her so much to get down on one knee and pop the question.
If that's the reason that he popped the question, because we don't really know.
It was done at gunpoint.
So from a legal perspective, Fern, you know, when she's in front of her attorney, and he's saying, like, you're going to have to be really honest with me, and, like, I love his little speech on, it depends how you define cost.
That's why.
But, you know, he's very friendly. He's trying to make her feel comfortable. He wants to get all of the dirt out. As an attorney, knowing all the dirt that she needs to go home and list and send over in an email, like, is that to prepare?
I mean, whatever she says, there's an attorney-client privilege,
right.
So he can never divulge it.
Okay.
But I think it's so he can prepare his defenses in case something comes at him.
Right.
But, yeah, I thought the conversation was interesting about cost. Like, it's more an opportunity cost. We're more protecting
what you already have.
Right.
He's like, it's going to cost. She goes, how much does this cost? Quite costly.
And the whole thing is so messy. Divorces aren't like any other litigation because it's, you know, there's the defenses are not like any other litigation. It's a messy thing, and there's so many feelings involved, and there's so many people who get married without a prenup, which...
And money makes it
they're so hopeful.
Worse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything and, about it.
Too much money or no money...
Either way.
...puts you in a prison.
Yes.
So my question is this. Mm-hmm. So he says to her, email me all this information. Now, in this day and age with hacking, now, they're back in the 80s, so... Not really that much of a problem, but in this day and age, is it safe to email all your indiscretions?
I mean, it's
for
safe
it to
because,
be hacked
because your emails are like even if they were discovered, they can't be produced because it's attorney-client privilege.
Okay,
but But if someone were to hack your email, just like from an IT perspective, if someone were to hack your email and they were prominent New Yorkers and they put it on page six, right. You know, maybe you shouldn't email it.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
you
pretty, should, pretty
right,
good.
Let's go back to the Stone Ages and write it down.
Right.
Yeah. Well, this actor that we see here, I don't know his name, but he is a guy we've seen before. And I think there's going to be something more there because when we see Dallas and Francis talking, Dallas is like, huh, he usually doesn't take many cases. And he even talks to Francis, and he's saying in that meeting, he's like, this is not going to be handled by a summer associate. It's going to be handled by me. So right. There's going to be possibly something interesting. Why would he personally handle Francis's case?
Oh.
It's a divorce case.
Yeah.
He would just hand it off to
well,
somebody.
Do you think he really is, or is that part of the sales pitch?
Oh, that could
I
be
mean,
true.
She could probably tell from the website like that he's not a underling, that
sure.
He's a senior, you know, or a partner. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he...
But, like, every step of the way.
Right,
yeah.
Maybe he likes her.
That's
I got that vibe.
Yeah.
I got that vibe.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
We'll see if I'm right.
Good.
Yeah, because why would he be handling some not famous person's divorce?
Every step of the way.
So prominent.
Be honest with me. I'm your partner.
And Dallas's reaction was telling. Like, when she was like, you what? Like, you what? You And she's like, you recommended him? What's the thing? Like,
yeah, I didn't understand that, actually.
I didn't really either. But she first said it's going to be expensive, mm-hmm. right? And so money is a big issue in this episode, right? Mm-hmm. We see a lot of this. I don't quite know. Anyone else have any takes on her reaction of just being so surprised?
Dallas's reaction?
Yeah.
I don't think that... Amongst their friends, and because they're all giving, like I said earlier, their opinions, I don't think their friends think they're actually going to go through with this divorce.
Mm.
Like, they've hit a rough patch. It's like, oh, if you want an attorney, let me give you, like, the shrewdest one of them all. Yeah, she's a little shocked because this is, like, Francis and Robert. Like, they've been together forever, and this is just kind of how they are, and we'll deal.
That's really interesting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I definitely didn't think about
that.
Yeah,
that's a common thing. Being a married person, I could say I've had acquaintances and people I know who have been like, I said I'm filing for a divorce, and you're like, oh yeah, mm-hmm. you are. I'm going to start doing Pilates four times a week.
Right? We say we're going to do these things.
We're going to do tilt.
Yes,
yeah.
We are. We're all going to do tilt.
Look it up.
This will happen. And if you have a question, you can
I
ask.
Do.
I want to get into the art opening. Mm-hmm. But first, let's just touch on the nasty new attorney who is great performance.
Tony Silver.
He is so good. And I'm like, he made my skin crawl. Right? The way his language was about mm-hmm. Francis and Robert's like, can you tone it down, dial it down, like, just a little bit?
I love him, and I'm so excited. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch, like, you know, even more every week. I'm just so excited because I love this actor from Oz. I don't know if you guys ever watched Oz. Scary Larry, and he played a Scary Larry dude back then, and he's always scared the bejesus out of me. So I saw him, and I'm immediately like, ah, he's going to be excellent. He was definitely a show energizer, that's for sure.
I thought so, too. And it's a great example of the having someone fight on your behalf.
Advocate?
Yes, the advocate system, because you see both of these attorneys kind of chomping at the bit, like they're excited.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Like, this is going to be a juicy one.
This is going to be fun, you know,
yes.
Poor clients.
That actor is, I don't watch Oz, but I know him from the Allstate mm-hmm. commercial where he's also a creep.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, he's the perfect, like, slimy guy.
And I love that, you know, we find out, oh, he hates women.
Mm-hmm,
like,
right.
That's his thing.
Doesn't even take them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So, this is going to be ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's already going low. He's already threatening her, calling her at 11 something at night. And she literally says, like, how does he know? We don't know, but she answered the phone.
Right.
Like, he could have been fishing.
Right. And this, I just have to point out again that this was one of the best episodes. This is, again, Cindy Shupak, mm-hmm. who wrote all the Sex and the Cities. And she knows how to play to the strengths, or rather, what we're familiar with Sarah Jessica Parker. Mm-hmm. You see her on the phone, running into an elevator. You see her with her friends, drinking champagne. Mm-hmm. These are the settings mm-hmm. we like to see and that we're used to. So I think this has really had a lot to do with the success of the show. Mm-hmm. The writing, too, the funny. And it was buoyant. It was a more optimistic episode than we've seen before.
Yes. Yeah. The other Sex in the City moment was when she was talking to her lawyer, and she said, what do I deserve? And he said, happiness.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that was such a Sex in the City moment.
It absolutely was. I love that. What do I deserve? Happiness is mm-hmm. the answer. So let's get to our gallery opening. First, we see that she has actually pulled the trigger, right? She's gotten this space, mm-hmm. and her realtor... Essentially, she finds out that it's been everything under the sun, and she said, oh, anything can be here and be successful. What she meant was nothing works in this space.
Oh, right. mm-hmm.
What would you do if you found out after you signed all the paperwork that this place has been the place that nothing works in?
First of all, I would have done my research
first. Yeah, why don't you know that before?
Like, this address, Google, what was here before. But this is the 80s now.
Is it the 80s?
Well, with a lot of the genre music that they're in, I don't think they're not in present day.
But they have smartphones. They have everything is modern.
He cheated on September 11th.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like they're in the 80s for some reason.
It's a stylistic genre, just because I listened to an interview where she talked about this, and I understand that there's a very 70s, there's a very kind of vintage feel and look.
Yeah.
That was because the genres that Sarah Jessica Parker was really inspired by had to do with, in the 70s, there was a vein of filmmaking that had very much to do with the music and the kind of album soundtracky and that look that you filmed in. So there's a lot of that stylistically that refers to that, so that makes sense, because I was thinking a similar thing until I heard the
interview. Or is the music like the nostalgia from when they met back in the day?
That's what she said on Mark Maron. She said she wanted the music from when they were coming of age, like that magical time when you're, you know, a teenager in your 20s. That's why she like wants a lot of 70s and 80s.
Frankly, most people, that's their favorite music, the music they grew up to, right? That you grew up with.
Exactly.
So she gets this space. I couldn't agree more. Do your research. Like, you know, she's so hesitant about pulling the trigger on anything and moving forward. And it's like, why isn't she putting more attention into it?
Right.
I don't know. But we'll hope it works. We see Diane, who wants to put in a coffee shop next door. Right. And that's like the complete antithesis of what Frances stands for. And we see this at the opening, right, which is for Mickey Burgess. Does I don't know this fellow fans. I don't know if you do.
Is he a real guy?
I'm guessing. Okay. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But they go to this party, and we see Dallas and Diane and Frances kind of in their element, the Sex and the City moment, right? And Mickey Burgess comes up, and he introduces himself to Diane. And we see that we find out that Diane is and her husband are serious art collectors, and that she has no idea about it at all. They bought a series of 40 paintings and one made it into the house. How does this change your perspective of like the trio, this information? Does it?
It's kind of like when Charlotte didn't have to work and Carrie was like working for a dollar an hour at Vogue. Mm-hmm. And there was a resentment that formed between them. Mm-hmm. And she was jealous, essentially. So I feel like it's going to cause a bit of a jealousy rift between Frances and Diane.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think because Diane is so like she's so clueless to what she has. When she said, "Oh, let's go to this art, you know, opening, or I can introduce you to all these artists. Here's my list."
That was really sweet.
Yeah. Yes, it was. And she's like, "They owe me one, therefore they owe you one." Nice. So now she's hearing like, "Wait a second, you have 40 pieces of art." And only one's in the house. So where are the other ones? Like, in the garage? Are they, like, in storage? Did you lend them to a museum? Can you lend them to mine?
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Good point.
You know, really like, here point. She already has. Now, mind you, the point of opening a gallery is to sell the art. So unless they want to sell the art. But if she just wants to do, like, some displays mixed in with selling art, she already has a nice foundation there. Not only does she have the access to these artists, but now she has access to the art.
Right.
Oh, that's such a good point.
Yeah, I didn't think
so
of that.
So I have a prediction. I bet Diane says no. And she's like, you have art that you're just sitting on, and I'm, like, struggling, and you're doing nothing all day.
That would be a Sex and the City moment. I think in divorce right now, it's all about girl power and trying to, like, help her along. Like, all right, so Robert's trying to pitch, you know, this fun zone to Nick.
Fun space.
You know, to Nick, and Diane shoots it down right away because she knows that, you know, Frances has sacrificed a lot of her life doing what she doesn't love. Now she's pursuing doing what she loves. Right. She's going to do anything in her power to make sure that happens because she's like, screw that guy. What did she say in one of the last episodes? She's like, if you don't screw him, he's going to screw you.
Yeah. But what's interesting about Diane is that I love that we see that she's not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Hilarious scene.
Great timing, comedically.
The accident.
I'm surprised she didn't, like, smell the champagne.
Yeah, she was pretty close. But I think we've all been there when we're like, I said I wasn't drinking.
Oh,
and then
the
they
champagne.
Bring it, and you're like, but that doesn't count, does it?
It's light.
But I think it was telling that she knows that her bad behavior was a result fault of being drunk, right? And totally humiliating herself and her husband and everything. And I like it, too, because, you know, we talked on the first episode, you were mentioning that you felt like she was a bit of a caricature, right? And I love that alcohol was the reason behind that. You know, because she hasn't been that way since. She's just maybe a little, but not nearly as over the top.
I think you. I think when you're intoxicated and you're with a significant other like Nick for so long, that it's like when someone starts clicking their pen, you're like, why are you clicking your pen? You know, and I think that when she's drinking, it intensifies it, which then in turn, like, he gets annoyed with her, she gets annoyed with him, and now we have, like, you know, the first episode of a gun shooting situation and a heart attack.
She seems terribly bored, don't you think? Like, what does she do?
She's got to be like a housewife.
I mean,
that's what it seems like. I loved her dress. I mean, can we just talk outfits for one second at the gallery scene? I really liked her dress and like necklace combination. It was a really nice, like, form-fitting black and white dress, and I think she had like a nice red jacket over it. Some of the always look at the outfits. Yeah. You know, you can't help. It's a Sarah Jessica Parker vehicle, and they have some neat. I think they've been really creative. They don't do the cookie cutter stuff that's done a lot. Right.
So they, we do have this kind of a Sex and the City scene where they, her friends start calling her out for the weird, bad stuff she's done.
Oh my God, I'm like, kick her while she's down.
I know. I was kind of like, where is this coming from? Because it provided some, it was funny, but it was, like you said, it was not the right time.
And yeah, like the poor girl is like having it bad right now. Do you really like... and that's the other thing. It was such an insignificant thing. That you still remember it. Like, you still have
it in your mind. She was holding on to it.
Right.
Dallas was really holding on to that.
Like, that's all you have to think about, that you remember that, was so weird to me.
They put a bee in her bonnet, though, and maybe, I don't know about you, maybe you guys are better women than I, but I know that there have been things that longtime friends have done that put a bee in my damn bonnet, and I didn't bring it up or have never brought it up, but...
Really? So I would say I would always bring it up.
See, you're good.
If they're a real friend, I would say something.
But something like that, you would be like, you would have brought it up sooner.
Right away.
And joking about it, because it's not that big of a deal. Like, how are my dead husband, or whoever it was, flowers doing at your house right now? If it was something serious, like she hurt her, you know, I could see it maybe harder to bring up sooner.
Yeah.
But I was just strange that that's what they pulled out of their hat.
I think that with Dallas, we saw earlier in the episode that, you know, she's at her practice, which we learned that she's some sort of psychotherapist or psychiatrist.
Didn't see that coming, by the way.
No, not at all. Especially because of how the nature of the conversation between her and Francis. Now, she's sitting in the window. She's smoking. Francis knows over the phone, like, when did you start smoking again? She's like, this morning. Her husband has died. She's a widow. Her kid now is telling her, I want to go live with my stepdad.
Not even dad. Stepdad. Not mom. This is not even a family. This is not a blood relation.
And so she's on the phone with Francis, and then she also, you know, she's like trying to have that crying moment. And you know she doesn't feel as a human being anymore, especially with what she does. She's like, I'm trying to cry. And she can't even get it up for her.
Yeah.
Self to cry to her friend. And during that whole conversation, Frances is distracted with her own problems. So maybe it was a resentment thing on Dallas's part that, once again, this is all about you. Everything points back, like, you're going through stuff, you're going through a divorce, I called you for support, you weren't there, she was trying to rush her off the phone because she was on her way somewhere.
Right.
You know, the surprise to Dallas that, you know, you're actually going to go through with this.
Right.
You know, so... I just think that Dallas was trying to, in her own way, pull attention back to her.
Right.
And that was the one thing that she was holding on to. Like, I didn't want my dead husband's flowers on your coffee table.
Right.
Which is really creepy.
She's feeling really sensitive because of what's going on with her son.
Yeah.
She wants to be able to express herself, but her job is to receive people's problems, right? Yeah. Not to, like, unload her own. And it did seem like she needs a therapist, too, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got to be hard to, you know, when your friend calls you that, I need this right now, you know, when you already have your own crazy life.
Right.
I don't know if that's really realistic of her to expect. What do you think?
depends on the nature of the friendship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a total bro, you know, it's what you do.
Right.
I'm always happy to do that for a very close friend, yeah. aren't you? It's like, I'm like, I'll pull over, I'll listen. You know, it's like an honor to
right,
be
like,
called.
What's going on?
Yeah. yeah.
Well, there comes a point, and I will go back to Sex and the City, you know, when she breaks up with Mr. Big, when her friends are like, all right, you have 5 more minutes.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to go and see someone about it.
Oh, there comes I love a that. Like, we're screwed up as you.
Yep. Yeah, you know, there comes a cutoff point where it's like we all have our own baggage, and you need someone with an unbiased opinion to really hear you out and give you, like, all right, so this is what you're saying, and you have A and B and C, and then there's X. You know what I mean?
Well, you need someone who can hear you. Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. Frances is not in a place that she can hear anybody. She can barely hear herself.
Right.
Right? Like, right. So I do think it's kind of hard to lean on someone who's in not in the best place. Yeah. She's not available, that's for sure, as a
right.
friend.
Right.
But it really doesn't help. We'll get to the whole Gustav situation. But when they are in the car afterwards and Diane asks for the dog back...
Oh, my God.
It says so much about her that, like, mm-hmm. this life that mm-hmm. she threw away, that she didn't want, mm-hmm. that her friend did a solid, I just think it's so distasteful.
Well, she doesn't even like dogs to begin with.
Right. But now that she's so happy with Nick, it's all of a sudden, like, Nick misses a dog. I love that Frances pointed out he couldn't pick him out in a lineup.
Like a dog lineup. I right. love that.
It's wonderful that you guys are doing great now, yes. and all of a sudden Nick misses the dog, but can you throw me a bone here?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the flowers, Dallas. I'm sorry that you want the dog back when my kids are attached. Like, give me a break.
Right. And that is a little, it's hard to watch.
Yeah, I felt
I
so
know.
Bad for her.
I felt
her.
Bad for her, too. But we get to see a little bit more of the depth of mm-hmm. her expertise and her passion at this gallery opening. So we see Mickey Burgess. We find out the stuff about Diane. We hear, you know, Frances getting kind of ripped on. Mm-hmm. And then she meets Carson Hodges, mm-hmm. this other artist, also mustachioed. So I kind of had a bad feeling about it. So I was like, I don't think mustaches are a good omen in this show. Mm-hmm. But they really have a connection. They're mm-hmm. talking about Kuntz's calculated commercialism, you know, getting really, really uppity about, you know, art. But it was nice to see her have a connection like that. And what did she say? She said everyone deserves to be able to look at something beautiful, provocative, and challenging.
Even if you don't live in New York City and Paris, which is something else she has an insecurity about.
Right.
I don't live in New York anymore.
But we right. get to see that this man was probably never beautiful, provocative, or challenging, her husband.
No. Oh, right. Right. And right. she's starving for that. And yes. you know, what's the thing that you're missing that you're going to glob onto and suddenly think is just like the best thing since sliced bread, which he fits the bill. He's a very successful artist. She right. admires his work. So she's just like, you know, that feeling that mm-hmm. you have. And of course, we know what happens afterwards. That feeling doesn't last.
So right. question, because the title of this episode is Gustav. And we only see him for a brief moment, right? He's drunk and he essentially blows the gig. And it made me wonder, like, was she a mark? Is this really, are they almost con artists of, like, they're trolling for wealthy people that are going to buy their art and knowing that she's not as wealthy as her friend? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what a waste of time.
It was definitely a statement on the art world. I think it was done intentionally, and it was for fun. And as we talked with Thomas Hayden mm-hmm. Church earlier, he talked about Sarah Jessica Parker being kind of like la grande dame of New York. She knows mm-hmm. everybody. And so I'm sure she's in this world a lot. So this was probably something funny and probably based in some type of reality that they pulled into this.
I love it.
And to get in a fight, these two that are supposedly in cahoots, or maybe they're not, or maybe... I mean, what do we think about that relationship? I don't know how much to... water to put into this scene, but when the episode is called Gustav and we only see him for 5 minutes and then they get into this really bizarre fight on the floor.
So my question is, are they related?
Who knows?
I thought that he said he was like his nephew or something. Correct me if I'm wrong. I thought that they were related, and it was like this whole like one-up situation that they were trying to do.
A competition. It was.
Type thing. But wow, it was
maybe that's another commentary on the art world of just the egos and like, oh, well, I'm this way and you're this way. And
right.
And not being able to handle the conflict without just losing themselves like children.
like a bar fight.
Yeah. Yes, and it was really sad because you're thinking of Frances and how she's excited. Mm. So even if this is not, she's just excited to be around a guy that's mm-hmm. just, you know, fun and intelligent. That's just, you know, that alone is exciting to mm-hmm. a person, to a guy, to mm-hmm. a girl. And then to have it punctured like that, like, whoa, you might just be interested in this. And then later we get into the car and we have Diane saying, oh, yeah, some other guy was interested in me for maybe, you know, like he thought I was the event manager. And it's just like, talk about a wake up, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But, like, but then she says she's going to go on a date with him.
I know, which is funny, which is like the boom setup joke that you have here. But it is, it's one of those things when you're newly single and you're like, wow, it's that bad out here.
Yes. Like, yes. All she needed was just a little bit of an ego boost, like a good conversation, good flirtatious night. And then they're sitting in the car like, what do we have to offer now at this age? We're single, a little older, have kids, we're out, like,
well, and Diane makes
only
that comment
use us for things?
Where she's like, "Oh, like I'm glad I'm not in that world anymore, right?" Yeah. Even though we saw her behavior before, like she's right, looked like right. she wanted to be single, right. and now she's poo-pooing on it, right?
Yeah, and she's sober,
right? right. So we're running out of time. So I thought, does anyone have news and gossip at all?
We're in episode 5 of season 10. There's 10 episodes, mm-hmm. so we're halfway point mm-hmm. here.
I like it.
I did want to mention that Thomas Hayden Church mentioned that he had, there was in a write-up in the Washington Post, was it?
New York Post.
Sorry, New York Post. So mm-hmm. I would like everyone to check that out. Didn't get a chance to read it yet, but was a write-up that I'm sure was deep and provocative if he was going to mention it. Mm-hmm. And then do we have any predictions?
None. It's an open road, gals.
Agreed. Open road. I made that one prediction about Diane not offering the art, which was your good prediction to start
with. Yeah, you're good with predictions. Yeah. What do you think?
I'm hoping that she, I mean, a friend helping a friend out. Like I said, it's definitely going to be, if they do pursue going through a divorce, Frances wins Diane and Nick in the divorce.
Right.
Period.
Okay.
And Robert can kiss his friend goodbye. Yeah, I see her being helped out by Diane in a very big way.
Frances, okay.
And I think that because Diane is so clueless and sucked into bubbles, it seems, mm-hmm. it'll be easy for her to get help from her. I think where she's going to get a lot of trouble is now them going through this divorce process with these crazy lawyers.
Right.
And, wow, let's just say it's going to be, I feel like it's going to be war.
Is Frances going to meet a hot guy?
No, I think... I think this was like one of those situations where when we see her talking to the artist, there was a glimmer of hope in her eye. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, there is a guy out there that I can talk to that's going to be amazing and I'm going to have so much in common with. But then it's like once he starts doing the fight thing, she's got her work cut out for her.
She really
needs to focus on her work.
The halo gets lifted really fast. And that was, by the way, Frank Whaley. And he is in a fantastic movie. It's an old one, but it's called Swimming with the Sharks with Kevin Spacey. And it is a phenomenal, phenomenal performance. It got me, made him one of my favorite actors, Frank Whaley.
Check it out.
He's not in a lot. I think he's like a theater guy. So I think that's his preference. But Swimming with the Sharks, I can't recommend it. 1994, old, but excellent.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, hot tip.
He and Kevin Spacey, just two excellent performers, you know.
So, I don't know if any of you guys saw scenes from The Next, but they are essentially, it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And Robert is insisting that the entire family be together, even though he's gone and done this and like driven this wedge between them. I'm hoping to see that sweetness. I'm hoping to see some kind of kindness between them. Mm-hmm. I'd love to find out what they had ever, you know, like what was their best?
Yeah.
Because I can't. I just can't picture it being much better.
You can't picture even chemistry, physical, like there being some love affair. Okay.
No.
Okay. I like how in the preview she says, keep your pants on.
Your underpants
on. You know, and it's the fact that now that they're going to have to, I don't know if it's her parents or his parents, but some set of grandparents are in the house, and they don't know what's going on. So they have to do this rouge, I feel, that's going to happen.
Yes.
And either the kids sell them out.
Right.
Or the parents start reading in, or we start finding out from the grandparents about the history of Robert and Frances.
Hey, Miriam the psychic for our next episode, The Magic Ball.
Want to put wagers on
right?
that.
Okay, so we only have a few seconds left. Did you guys want to ask a tilt question?
Oh, yes. Oh, thank you so much.
Of course.
I saw that you bring food in, and you are like the guru of health and fitness. Mm-hmm. So any recommendations for when you're going to be out and about all day, but you don't want to end up eating 5 donuts?
Oh, absolutely. Plan ahead.
Okay.
So one of the things I do, and I'm sorry that my favorite little sunflower seed butters in a packet are discontinued, but literally before I walked in here, I had a peanut butter packet. So that's fat, that's protein. Maybe it's not as delicious if it was like on an apple, but nuts and legumes, I swear by. So it's important to be prepared, keep your blood sugar going, because when your blood sugar drops is when you're going to make a poor food choice.
Okay.
Right? Because you're starving and you have all these hormones going on in your body.
Hormones.
So when you're out and about and you maybe can't eat the way you want to, that's when the snacking comes in. Mm. And you're much less likely to make a poor choice when you finally do go have a meal.
Okay.
So I would say, and then Trader Joe's, handful of almonds, raw. They're in a little plastic bag. They're all separated out. So you can throw that in your purse or your bag, and that'll keep your blood sugar steady with protein and fat, and it's all natural and all that stuff.
Okay. Any drink recommendations that aren't like iced coffee or soda beyond water? Is there like, did you coconut water?
I drink a ton of tea.
Okay.
Whether it's black tea with milk or like coconut milk or herbal tea, but hot water suppresses your appetite. It also takes care of your throat, your voice for vocal hygiene, and it helps keep you healthy because if there's any bacteria growing in your throat, it will go into your stomach and die with the stomach acid. So drinking hot beverages is my number one tip for appetite suppression and staying slender.
Just hot water or any hot beverage?
Anything. Oh, you want to put lemon in there, you want to put regular tea bags, whatever you want to do. But hot, I mean, when it's 90 degrees outside, it's a little hard to do. But tea. Tea's the answer.
Great tips.
Hot tip.
Yeah. And on that note, I have plenty of more tips to share if you guys are interested of how to look and feel your best. I'm Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo, and of course, tiltbyoriana.com and tiltbyoriana on all social media as well.
All right, great. I am Constance Dunn. You can find me at Instagram, Constance Dunn, and Twitter, Constance Dunn.
Miriam Gonzalez, you can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez.
Fern Ronay, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay. My novel, Better in the Morning, which I describe as Sex and the City meets Ghost, is available Barnes & Noble, Amazon. You can order on your Kindle, on a paperback, whatever pleases you.
Please order it and read it, is what she's saying. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please check out the interview with Thomas Hayden Church that should be up on the website and on YouTube. Until next time, bye-bye.
Adios. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.